Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke. Native Americans have been banned, censored, and even jailed for the simple act of playing a musical instrument. Many of them have gone mostly unknown, even though we enjoy their songs today. Monday night on Independent Lens, Rumble, Indians Who Rocked the World, traces the melodies, rhythms, and beats of traditional Native American music by traversing the spectrum of 20th century American rock. Producer Christina Fahn joins us on In the Moment. Fahn has also produced the popular documentaries Mohawk Girls and Real Engine, among many, many other projects. She's Vice President and Executive Producer for Resolution Pictures. Christina, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. First of all, let's go right to the root of the project here. Detail the beginning of this project and how this all came together.
Okay. Well, it's quite the story, actually. So Resolution Pictures has been working with Native content, producing Native content for over 20 years. And as you mentioned in the intro, we produced a documentary called Real Engine that was quite successful, that was also on the Independent Lens a few years back. And it won a Peabody Award. And so it did really well. And in the meantime, we kept producing Native content for television, some series, other docs. And then by coincidence and through friends of friends, I got in contact with Apache guitar player Stevie Salas, and we started talking, and he had been producing an exhibit at the Smithsonian that was called Up Where We Belong, that featured Native musicians that were relatively unknown who had influenced the biggest rock stars in the world. And he was thinking of making it into make it into a documentary. And so I said, hey, well, why don't we start working together? And then after a few months of discussing and trying to figure out how we would do it, and him looking at our work and mostly enjoying Real Engine, thought, okay, let's try to do this. And then he and I and Catherine Bainbridge and everyone at Resolution Pictures went on a 5-year journey and produced Rumble.
You and Stevie Salas are a very good team. I enjoy his parts throughout the documentary Rumble. Rumble has already done well on the festival circuit. What accolades has Rumble received to this point?
Well, we started off our festival run by premiering at Sundance in 2017, and it was interesting because in November we had applied to the festival, and we thought, the film was quite long, and everybody was, it was a very passionate project. There was so much footage, many interviews, took a long time to put together. So many great stories. So there was a lot of work to be done to actually put it together. And we weren't quite finished with the film. And we thought, it's never going to get in. And we didn't have an ending. And then boom, they called us and said, okay, you're going to Sundance. You have to be ready in January. So we were all getting ready to go away on our Christmas holiday. And we thought, oh, we have to work over the holidays, and we did, and we put it together. And I have to say that, everyone just worked so hard to create something beautiful and interesting and fun. And it was a real celebratory piece. And so we ended up winning at Sundance Masterful Storytelling Special Jury Award, which was incredible. We were just thrilled and quite surprised, but happily surprised.
I mentioned that Rumble, the Indians Who Rock the World, premieres Monday night on Independent Lens. And I should mention, too, it's 9 o'clock Central Time on SDPB-TV. I'd be interested to know how many people out there know the name Link Wray, but I'll bet almost every listener would say that they've heard this.
Yeah.
scars on your arm every time you hear that guitar lick, Christina.
Yeah. No, I mean, it creates such a series of emotions and memories for me personally, only because I, like many, didn't know Link Wray. And many people in our company didn't know Link Wray. And Stevie Salas, when, you know, we started talking about it and we started, he started telling us the stories and the about the different musicians. And, you know, we were just shocked at how much of an important influence he was to so many extremely accomplished and famous musicians. So, you know, that really says a lot, I think, about Link Wray. And so, you know, it was just a real, like, eye-opener for us, as well as many of our viewers and festival goers. And now I hope PBS, you know, audience, PBS watchers will as well. So, I mean, it's a real, I think it's just, we hope that people will see it the way we did. It's uncovering a piece of American history as well as music history, and celebrating these amazing musicians that were relatively unknown to many people.
And that's why I said before we played that little piece of Rumble that I'd be interested to know how many people out there actually know the name Link Wray. I mean, everybody has heard that just tasty guitar lick from Rumble. And as you said, some of the greatest guitar players of all time say Link Wray was one of the greats. It's just kind of amazing. We don't know Link Wray like we know names like Pete Townsend or Keith Richards or Jeff Beck. What was Link's background?
Well, basically, Link was... you know, a musical. I personally am not the director or the creative producer, so I'd rather not talk so
sure.
much about the you know, the content of each. I don't want to make any mistakes.
Right.
on all the facts, but I do know that he had you know, he had two brothers, as we see in the film, and he played music all his life, and he was just, you know, an incredible influence. And he, you know, he went through a lot. I think a lot of, as many Native Americans, you know, repression and identity hiding, and just, you know, had to push through all of that to keep going with his art.
Yeah.
And he succeeded in some ways. Some ways he didn't, you know, because I don't think he was necessarily as successful as he could have been until he passed away, and his music was revived in movies like Pulp Fiction. And I think slowly people are starting to get to know Link Wray and how much of an influence he was. But I don't know how many people know of him or know about him or don't know about him. But I do know that we are trying hard to make sure that he eventually gets into the Hall of Fame, or, you know, that he gets the recognition that he deserves.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about how Native American music actually influenced blues music. That's something that's very important too in the film, especially when you and Steve take a look at the southeastern part of the United States. Vocalization, harmonies connected to the blues, but a lot of that began with the Native Americans.
Yeah, so again, I want to give credit to our director, Catherine Bainbridge, and Alfonso Majorana, as well as Stevie Salas, executive producer, in terms of the creative team, because Catherine in particular has a very, she has a passion for history and politics. And so there was a lot of research that was done on our end before going into that and looking into that section of the movie, where we uncovered that, you know, there was a lot of mixing at that time of races between the Black and Native. And then a lot of the, just, you know, the cultural aspects of the blues and the Native people there who lived in those areas, there was a huge, you know, just mixing of those people, and the music came through. And that's what we tried to basically show in the film that there was influencing. There was just a little bit of, you know, tone and different styles that came through, and people never really noticed that. And we talked to a lot of different people. We went to New Orleans, and after the film came out, it was interesting because there were so many people that came up to us and said, "Oh my God, I always knew there was something, and I didn't know. And thank you so much for uncovering this and talking about it. And it was never really talked about. And I'm so happy." And we were kind of worried. I know Stevie and Catherine really had a thing about it, because we were worried about pointing something out that has such a strong base and getting, you know, sort of, I guess, reprimanded for it. But people seem to have been really open to it and happy about it. And that whole scene with Perfey and the record player, where she's going over the Charlie Patton song, mm-hmm. and showing us how you can, you know, how do you hear it? And everybody really lights up to that scene. And, you know, it's just a really joyful and happy and interesting piece and part of our film, and people have resonated to it.
Absolutely. Charlie Patton used the body of his guitar for percussion, like many players do today. But he did that for a very interesting reason. And at the beginning, as we brought you into the program today, Christina, we talked about how Native American artists and other artists as well were jailed just for simply playing like a guitar or drums. The issues that people encountered during that time seem just so archaic now, but it was very real back then.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people know about the African American history of abuse and slavery and repression, and I think people are starting to talk about the Native American history of cultural genocide. And I personally, you know, my background is, my parents are Hungarian Jews, and they came here in 1956, escaping the revolution, went through the Holocaust. And so I have a very, you know, I guess, affinity to the history of genocide and cultural genocide. And I think that Native people are now slowly starting to talk about the real history of what happened to them, and how all about the residential schools and the 60s scoop. And I think there's a resurgence of, hopefully, or I feel it, that Native people are starting to voice their own history and take charge of their culture and showing the world that there's such a rich, cultural, aspects to that they have to give to the world. And so I think Rumble is just a little piece of that.
Yeah. Christina Fawn is our guest. Christina is a producer for Rumble, The Indians Who Rock the World, premiering on Independent Lens next Monday night at 9 Central on SDPB. Robbie Robertson, well known for being a member of the band, for which he is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well, says, "Be proud you're an Indian, but be careful who you tell." And that's very telling from a man who has had the career he has. But apparently there's a part of his life and career that hasn't been all roses. The message, though, is still these artists are proud, even though there were times in their lives where they couldn't necessarily just come out and say that. And that's unfortunate.
Well, I think that I love that line. And he says it with a little smirk, mm-hmm. you know. So he's such a great speaker, Robbie Robertson, and he has, you know, he's such a talent, and he's Canadian. I'm Canadian, so particular affinity to him. And I think he just talks for all repressed cultures. And again, I can only relate it to my own heritage of being a child of Holocaust survivors and Jewish, where, you know, there's a certain period in your life where you're not able to necessarily, express the fact that you are of this culture, this religion, and there's fear. And I think that's what he meant, that there's pride in his culture, but there was a time where you couldn't talk about it. But then again, you know, I know Stevie says this a lot, like at the time when you're playing music and you're a musician and you have passion for your art, you're not going to say, oh, well, I'm, you know, John, you know, Bugelmeier, and I'm a Polish guitar player. Like, you're just going to say, hey, I'm a guitar player. So I'm hire me. I'm a good player. And I think, you know, a lot of these musicians just wanted to play their or sing and perform their art. They yeah. didn't necessarily want to say I'm native. But then again, when they started creating their own pieces, it came through in what they were talking about, or maybe a little bit here and there, like what they were wearing, or in their style of music or style of singing. But they didn't want to necessarily put it out there.
This film is just brimming with so many interesting stories and involving artists like Johnny Cash, Robbie Robertson, who we just mentioned, Charlie Patton, Mildred Bailey, Jimi Hendrix, Buffy St. Marie, so many legendary figures in music. And again, it covers from the earliest blues to the birth of rock and roll, from the folk and protest music up to the of the 60s up to the modern heavy metal. Were you surprised to uncover the contributions of some of these American Indian artists?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were... Like I said before, we you know, there were so many great artists that we talked about that we didn't know about, that we didn't, we meaning myself or Catherine, the director, Alfonso Myron, the co-director. I know Stevie South, being in the music industry and also being Native, I mean, he knew, and most people in the music industry knew about these people. I don't know if they knew they were Native, but they knew about them or of them. So it was a real discovery for myself personally, and I'm just really glad we got through it. As I said, I was very involved in the financing and the production end of things, and trying to make sure that all the creative team was able to see eye to eye, and that we would end up being satisfied with what we produced. And I think in the end we were all really happy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the film. Again, it premieres on Independent Lens Monday at 9 Central, SDPB-TV, Rumble, Indians Who Rock the World, and Christina Fawn has been our guest on In the Moment. Christina, thank you so much, and hope we can speak again.
Thank you.